Welcome to St. Louis. Welcome to KMOX.
Hey, going back to what you just heard about cash bail, Bob McCullough is going to be in the studio tomorrow afternoon at 2 o'clock hours, so we'll get a chance to ask him about that particular situation. So I saw a story yesterday on the Daily Beast, which was fascinating. The headline, how an ex-cop rigged McDonald's Monopoly game and stole millions. And it is an outstanding read. We're going to summarize it here this afternoon with the author of the piece, Jeff Maish, joins me. Hey, Jeff, how are you?
Hey, I'm great.
You know, one of the things I asked myself, and you answered this in the end of the piece, is how in the world, because this all goes back many years ago, did I not hear about this? And I think I vaguely remember some of the coverage about the scandal with the Monopoly game and the stolen money. But there was a trial that dealt with a lot of this that started, as you mentioned in the piece, on September 10th, 2001. And we all know what happened the next day. And that prevented this particular story from maybe getting out there a little bit more than it would have, right?
Yes, for many people, this is the first they've heard of the story, because obviously 9/11 happened and no one was talking about the Monopoly scam. But of course, the story came out yesterday. It's blown all that open and everyone's talking about the big McDonald's swindle that happened at the end of 2001.
I'm going to tell people listening right now, there's no way for me or for Jeff to summarize all of this in the next 8 minutes or so. But it's a really good piece, and I would highly recommend that you read it. We'll link to it here on our website at KMOX.com. But sort of get into the basics here. Jerome Jacobson is a guy who is the head of security for the company that McDonald's sort of contracts with to run this game, correct? The marketing company.
That's right.
What else do we know about him, and what does he do in this situation? At first, he's the guy who's just basically making sure that nobody steals these pieces that could be very, very valuable, including up to $1 million. But he takes it upon himself to, at first, very secretively, sort of steal those pieces and sort of sell them off to different people, and he tries to get away with it as long as he can. So how does he do this?
Well, Jacobson was an ex-cop, so he was trusted with being the head of security for the whole Monopoly promotion. So it was his job to take the winning game pieces and to physically take them to the McDonald's factories and put them on French fry packets and Big Mac boxes. But as we know now, he wasn't putting them on Big Mac boxes. He was putting them in his pocket, and he was selling them on the black market.
So there was someone who was assigned to be with him that was with an accounting firm. Is that correct?
Yes, he had a third-party auditor follow him everywhere apart from one place, the toilets.
Right.
So she was female, he was male, so he would slip into the men's toilets, and that is where he would do the dirty deed.
Literally, right? He would take some of those pieces. So then one of the guys that plays an important role in this is an FBI agent by the name of Richard Dent. How does Richard Dent get involved here?
Well, Richard Dent gets an anonymous tip in March of 2000 that these game pieces are being stolen. And Richard Dent is an old-fashioned type of FBI agent who specializes in the boring stuff, environmental fraud, bank fraud, public corruption. So he's the perfect guy to get involved in this case. And he launches Operation Final Answer, which is the operation to bring down Jacobson and up to 50 other people that were his co-conspirators.
Yeah, but at first, they think it's just Uncle Jerry, right? Just one guy, and they find out that there are winners that paid Uncle Jerry for these game pieces in a variety of ways. And sometimes he would say, look, I have a $1 million winner, but I need to get money in return. He was asking for what, $40,000, sometimes $100,000?
Yeah, I'd go for that, wouldn't you? If someone said, here's $1 million, just give me 50 grand.
I probably would think about it, although did they know? Some of them were misled a little bit, weren't they?
A lot of them were misled. A lot of the defendants in the case, they had no idea. They were told these very tall stories of, oh, my friend won this ticket, but he's going through a divorce. He doesn't want to claim it and give the wife half.
Yeah.
So a lot of them didn't know, but quite a few of them did, and quite a few of them became what the FBI called super recruiters, and they began recruiting other winners. So the whole organizational chart looked like an octopus, with Jerome Jacobson as the head.
You know, he's one of those guys, and I think we have all kinds of countless examples of this over the course of history, that he thinks because he's getting away with this that he pretty much is invincible and that he can do anything. And he keeps reaching higher and higher and higher for prize money and then eventually gets caught.
I interview a lot of criminals in my job, and it's always the same. It's greed. And once they get away with it, they can't stop until they get caught. And I think that was the case with Jacobson. He started very small, slipping the odd game piece to a cousin or a brother, and then eventually he gets involved in organized crime, and mobsters get involved, and it becomes an industrial conspiracy.
Now, you interviewed him for this piece, right?
Jerome Jacobson didn't speak to me, but I did speak to other members of the conspiracy, dozens of them, to build this story, and I also spoke to lots of his colleagues that he worked with very closely.
So when you quote, I guess you kind of paraphrase him or you quote him, where is that coming from? Because oftentimes in the story you say Jacobson admitted and you sort of half quote him. Is that just from testimony that came during the trial?
Yeah, it's a good question. I flew to Jacksonville and I got some 7,000 pages of depositions and trial transcripts. So Jacobson's on the stand answering questions in court. And that's where all of his quotes come from.
So let me read one of the parts of the story. And we covered this just briefly, but he talks about how he sort of sold the pieces. I would go into the men's room of the airport, the only place the female auditor couldn't follow him, as you said. I would go into a stall. I would take the seal off. Then he'd pour the winning game pieces into his hand, replace them with the commons, you know, the ones that weren't winning, reseal the envelope. First, he stole a $1 million instant win game piece, locked it in a safety deposit box. Then he stole documents that he claimed proved the Canada conspiracy. So explain what the Canada conspiracy was.
Well, Jacobson claimed that every time they ran the supercomputer to find out where to send the prizes, you know, which factory, every time the computer picked a factory in Canada, Jacobson claimed that they reran the system. And they didn't want any prizes to go to Canada, which sounds quite shocking to me, a shocking claim that a whole country would be built. But he did tell investigators that that's exactly what happened.
So he says, in his mind, I'm stealing these pieces. You know, I'm going to get some money out of this. And if I get caught, I'm going to expose the fact that there's nobody winning in Canada. That was sort of what was going through his mind.
Well, he did something else as well, something quite strange. He mailed a $1 million winning game piece to a children's hospital, the St. Jude's Children's Hospital. And they claimed the $1 million prize. And it's said that Jacobson hoped that that act of charity would help get him a reduced sentence.
What was the eventual sentence?
He pleaded guilty, and he served just over 3 years in prison, and he's currently paying back $12 million in restitution.
But isn't that kind of silly when you hear stuff like that? I mean, they say crime doesn't pay, but every time I hear a story like this about a white-collar criminal who barely spends any time in jail and has to spend money to pay it back, which he'll never do, it almost seems like it was worth it.
A lot of people said that he didn't get enough time, but you should hear about the other guys. A lot of the fake winners, they were just given probation, and they're paying back their restitution at $50 a month. So they got off really lightly.
Did they track down everyone who had won the money illegally or not?
Well, we don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, they tracked down 50 of them, enough to get a good conviction. But at the end of my story, you'll see that there's a lot of unanswered questions. And I managed to dig up a few very suspicious wins around that time. There's a few unanswered questions at the end of the story, if you check it out on thedailybeast.com.
You know, the other part of this story is, and you write about this, is McDonald's had some tough corporate decisions to make here, too, because they, once this was exposed, they had to decide how to handle it, and the FBI was asking for cooperation.
Well, and what a tough decision to make. The FBI came to McDonald's and said, your game is rigged, your game is corrupt. And McDonald's wanted to shut it down, but the FBI said, we could do with you running it for one more game so we can catch these guys. So McDonald's had to run the game knowing it was rigged, and that's that could put them in a very tricky legal position, but luckily it worked out pretty well for them.
And that was Jack Greenberg, who was the McDonald's CEO at the time, that made that decision. How in the world, and maybe this will be the impetus for it here, Jeff, how in the world is this not a movie or will not be a movie in the future? Sounds like perfect for a great piece on The Daily Beast, but this has got to be a Hollywood movie at some point.
It does feel like that. I can tell you I've received a lot of calls, so watch this space.
I think I'm going to remember this moment in this interview, and we'll have you back when this is a major motion picture. It is fascinating. We'll put it up at KMOX.com/Mark. Jeff Maish wrote the piece, How an XCOM Rigged McDonald's Monopoly Game and Sold Millions. And we just barely, let me tell you something, there's so many details in here that are fascinating. We barely scratched the surface. It is well worth the read. Fascinating. Jeff Maish, thank you so much for coming on here.
Thank you.